Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, amen. I'm Matthew, by the way, if you don't know me. You'll get to know me really well during this next 30 minutes or so. Just so you know, a couple of things, those who don't know me, I can be very annoying. So if I ask a question, I will wait until somebody says something. I will actually not answer the question. I'll just wait till somebody says something. So don't be alarmed. Like, I'm just so you can expect it. The other thing is that I do prefer discussion. So if you can participate, it would make me happy. So I'm not talking the whole time. Also, we wouldn't need to hear from each other. I don't know what's your timing like here. What time do you normally end? 10? Okay. Okay, perfect. You guys know the topic, or? Okay, perfect. So we're in the Nativity Fast now. It's an opportunity for us to make a change in our life. Every fast that the church puts in place for us, it's not just we can come and, you know, sing tasbaha all day long and don't do anything. Like, we have to make a change. It's an opportunity, and it's the church is giving us the tools to make a change in our life. So if we're coming to church and liturgy, we have to do that, and praises and kiyah and all that stuff. That's all great. But when we go home, that's where it really matters. So it's a challenge for myself and for all of us, that if we haven't challenged ourselves to do something different or to change something, we still have a few more weeks to go. So hopefully this topic will inspire all of us to make a change. And I chose a topic that is very dear to me and also very practical for many people. So hopefully we can discuss together. So the topic is, when can I judge? Okay, and it's based on the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read it. But the first thing I want to do is I want to define what that word means, because some people misinterpret it. So if I say to you the word judge, in the verb to judge, how would you define it? And I'm going to wait. Make a decision. Assumptions. Okay. Okay, if you're doing it properly, are you making assumptions? Like, by definition, when you judge something, is it by assumptions? So what is it according to? Facts. Very good. How would you get the facts? How would you get those facts? What would be another word for facts? Or like, how would... Think bigger. Think about, in general, like if you're talking to somebody outside the church, like not in a youth group, if somebody said, I don't know what the word judge means, how would you define it? So you said facts, it's good, but how do you get the facts? How do you define a fact? Yeah. Through observation, okay. Any other things that would form... So opinion, somebody said to form an opinion, so that's correct. Form an opinion on something based on facts or evidence, okay? So if you go to a courtroom, the judge will evaluate the evidence. Is somebody in law here? I'm getting a, yeah? Are you in law school? Okay, so you should define it. Okay, I won't push, but we might come back to you later. So that's what it means. You're evaluating evidence. Okay. So now, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. So, we can read verse 1.
Sure. Judge not that you be not judged.
Okay. So, at first glance, you read this verse, and you say, okay, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking, and he was talking. Does anybody know when he said this? Or where? Anybody know? So Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is considered like the heart of Christianity. If you want to tell someone what Christianity is, you give them Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's when the Lord Jesus Christ defined Christianity from A to Z. And this is when he was on the mount. There was many people who came, Jews, non-Jews, Pharisees, scribes, all different walks of life. So then he says this statement, judge not that you be not judged. So we have to understand what he's saying here, okay? So my first question, or actually my second question to you is it okay to judge? Look at the verse and remember the definition that we said. Is it okay for me to judge? No. Judge what? Tell me more. When I should do that. He's saying judge not. Keep that in mind. Judging people. Okay. Okay, so does that mean that I can never judge a person? So I should never judge a person? According to this. Okay, so what about in a courtroom? Is the judge now condemned by this verse? Yes, you're right. Yes? Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, very good. Very good. Okay. So now we're getting closer to the reality. So can we say we can never judge? No. We can't say that. There's certain instances where we have to judge, okay? And if I'm in a position of authority, like you said, in a courtroom, okay, God has given me the right to make a judgment in that situation. And as you said, we respect civil authorities, and the Bible says that. St. Paul says that. So the answer is that there's certain cases where we are allowed to judge, okay? So those cases are not what the Lord is talking about. But it's important for us to understand what those cases are so we understand when it's okay and when it's not okay. Okay, so I think we covered a couple of them. So the first thing is if I'm in a position of authority that God allowed for me to take that the role of judging. So for example, a courtroom is a good example. Another example might be like a police officer, for example, or even in the church, God has allowed people in the church to make judgments on others. Okay, so certain people who have authority accepted by God, they are given that authority to judge. Now, if I'm in that position of authority, I'm allowed to judge. However, there's a caveat to that. What's the caveat? Or what's the person who has the authority to judge, what do they need to be careful of in front of God? Okay, we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. So let's say I'm not in a position of authority. I'm just regular Joe. Can I judge? No? Okay. So you're right. But there is one person I'm allowed to judge. One person only. Yourself. Very good. Okay. And how do you judge yourself? What does that mean? reflecting on your actions, meaning. Mm-hmm. Very good. So actually, we need to do that on a daily basis. We actually have to judge ourselves. If we're not judging ourselves, then probably we're not on the track of salvation. We have to judge ourselves all the time. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's many quotes from the fathers that are saying, you're going to be judged. Either you judge yourself, or you're going to be judged by God or by somebody else. So I'm much better to judge myself and correct than to not judge myself and allow myself to do anything, right? And then in the end, it's not going to be for my benefit, right? So I do need to judge myself. So that doesn't fall under this category, okay? Actually, the Lord asks us to discern between good and evil. It's all over the Bible. I'll give you one example. St. Paul says, evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. So how am I to understand what good company is? Or, sorry, what evil company is? I have to judge. I have to judge the situation. I have to judge maybe, you know, the environment or the people, right? In a certain situation like that, if it's going to affect my salvation, I have to judge that situation. And I have to see, is that good for me or not? So God allows me to make that judgment because he gave me a brain, right? If he didn't want me to judge, he wouldn't give me a brain, right? But every day, I make a judgment call. Every day, I make decisions. Every moment, I make a decision, okay? But what God wants us to do is to be spiritually mature to make that decision. And the one who's spiritually mature is the one who can discern the good and the evil, okay? So it's important for us to understand that God wants us to use our brain to evaluate, okay? So now, let's talk about verse 1 again. Judge not that you be not judged. So what do you think he's referring to here in particular? In what situation is he talking about judge not? Actions of individuals that cannot affect you. What do you mean by it cannot affect you? I do see what you're saying. So what is the actual problem that he's referring to here, do you think? So in that situation, you mentioned like your brother looks at your actions, this and that. Okay, so is any of that incorrect? Is any of that what you mentioned a sin? Like if he's watching what your actions and evaluating it? It's not. Okay, so where is the sin? Yes. Right, very good. That's excellent. Yeah, that's right. That's actually right. That's very good. So, you said the word hate. Okay, so how does that emotion come into judging? How would it come in? Thought. breathing? Okay. So you're right. So that's right. So the problem is when I don't have love for somebody and I'm evaluating them. That's what he's talking about. Okay? So when I don't have love for someone, right? What does it mean about myself? That's a question. If I'm judging someone, somebody in the back there, you can come down if you like. If I'm judging someone in a negative way, like the ways you guys are describing, what does it say about myself? What am I saying about myself? Yeah. Very good. So I'm deflecting, as we said, who can we judge? Ourselves. Okay. So if I'm constantly judging other people, most likely I'm not judging myself. And why am I not judging myself? I'm too busy focused on other people. And what does it say about myself? What I think about myself. Right. I'm the best, and all you guys are the worst. And I know everything, and you guys know nothing. Right? So if I have that spirit, that's what Christ is saying, you need to stop. And we're going to understand why in verse 2. Okay? But the idea is, if I elevate myself above anybody else, this is judgment. I'm not at liberty to do that. And why? Why am I not allowed to do that by God? What's the problem if I do that? What's the issue here? So what if I, you know, I think I'm better than Mark? So what? What's the problem with that? Tell me. Okay. Okay. So you're right. You're right. So I'll go a little bit deeper. So basically the problem here is that we said the definition of judging is what? To evaluate based on facts, evidence. Is that correct, by the way? Would you add to that definition? That makes sense? Okay. So if I am judging based on evidence of facts, okay, and I'm making a judgment on Mark, who I haven't seen in months. Literally, I haven't seen him in months. Does it make sense for me to make a judgment? I just saw him do something, I don't know, that I think is wrong. Does it make sense for me to judge? Yes. Correct. Let's say I see Mark pushing someone, okay? And I just walk in and I see him push. And I say, oh, Mark, he's so terrible. He's always pushing people. He's always doing bad things to people. Okay? And I just walked into the room and that's all I saw. Am I in a position to judge him? I'm not. Okay? Maybe I don't see that someone was coming to attack him and he pushed him away. Maybe I don't see that. But I just saw him push somebody. Right? But I know Mark. I know Mark would do that. He's that type of guy. But I didn't evaluate everything. I don't know what happened before, what happened, what's going to happen after. I don't know anything, right? So I'm not in a position to do that. So who is in that position to do that? God himself. Why? Right. I know this it sounds obvious, but we forget, right? We forget. That's why we have to kind of like remember that, right? God knows everything. He's Panto Creator, Almighty God. You know, we say that all over the place in liturgy. Like, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's everything, right? But we think that we know more than him. So we take matters into our own hands, right? So that's a problem. right? I don't want to take the place of God in judging somebody, because he's the only one who can do that. Okay? So what Christ is actually prohibiting in this verse, he's prohibiting impulsive, reckless, uncharitable judgments. Okay? Impulsive, right? So it's based on emotion. It's not based on facts. It's not based on evidence. It's not based on anything, right? It's just based on, like, I feel this, so I'm going to say that about that person. Some people, they have a spirit of finding problems in people. They love doing that. Okay, and I might be one of those people. Okay? I might be one of those people. Right? So that's what Christ is trying to tell us. If you have that spirit, you want to find faults in people, you want people to fall, so you can say, yeah, I knew that he was gonna fall in that sin or do that thing. Right? Christ is saying, you need to stop that. You can't have that spirit anymore. Why? Verse 2.
For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
So what does that mean? I don't answer my questions. Isn't that a bit, like, it's crazy if you think about it, right? If you think about, like, how I treat others, basically God is saying, I'm going to treat you that way. That's crazy, isn't it, if you think about it? It's kind of scary, but at the same time, it's actually amazing as well, okay? but let's focus on the amazing part. Why is it amazing? Why is it not amazing? Yeah.
It's fair.
It's fair. Some people can argue it's not fair. Okay.
If you're judging somebody who's doing something terrible, and you never know that, you never will do that, and you just can't judge them.
Of course. Yeah. So, it's amazing that God chooses our relationships in order to judge us. Isn't that amazing? He's basically saying, your relationships will define how I see you. Okay? If we remember that, it will completely change our behavior. Right? Like, if you think about, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, okay, which we say, you know, 1,000 times in a service, okay, every time, what do we say? Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why did God insist to put that part? Why didn't he just say, because the Lord was telling the disciples, when you pray, say this, right? He could have just left it at, forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. Why did he ensure to say, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why? Yes? Mm-hmm. If you think about that, that's scary. It's a bit scary, right? If I don't forgive my brother, I will not be forgiven. Right? And why? God is saying that because if I am not forgiving others, or if I am judging others, I'm not on the plan to salvation. I'm not on my way to heaven. Right? He's not saying it to be harsh. He's not saying, well, you're doing that, I'm going to do it to you. He's not saying it to be harsh. He's saying, if you're doing this, you're on the wrong track. I want you to be with me. Right? And who is God? in a word. In a word, who is God? Love. So what does he expect us to do? To love. Okay? So if I'm judging a situation or I'm judging a person, if it's not in love, it's apart from him. It's not, I'm not in Christ. Right? And as we know, we all of us here, I think, come to church and take communion. Right? So that means I have God inside of me. Okay? So when I go and I do something without love, then I've stepped outside of God somehow, even though he's inside of me, which is kind of crazy, right? So that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's saying, I want you to love, right? I want you to have compassion on people. And in the end, it's okay. We don't have to worry. Why? Because God is going to judge each one, right? And we say that in the liturgy, right? Give each one according to, what does it say in the liturgy? According to his deeds. We pray that in the liturgy. So why am I so worried about what Mark is doing? I don't have to worry about what Mark is doing. I have to worry about what I'm doing, right? If I focus more on what I'm doing, probably I'm not going to have even think about Mark, because I'm going to have so many things to work on, right? I'm not going to think about what Mark is doing. The problem is when we start thinking about others, we stop thinking of ourselves. And that's what God is saying. You need to focus on yourself, because you're the only one who's going to lead yourself to have salvation. No one else is going to help you. You're the one who has to help yourself. And this is the way you help yourself. Does it make sense? I read a couple of verses to you. James chapter 2, it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Okay, I'll say it again. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Again, James is saying the same thing. Right? If I don't have mercy on others, I will not have mercy from God. And again, that's out of his love he's saying that. This is St. James. Okay? St. Paul says in Galatians, "Do not be deceived." It's not up there, sorry. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Okay? So what does that mean? What does he mean if that a man sows, he will also reap? What is the meaning of that? Right. So, exactly. What goes around comes around. Let's not break into any songs now. But so, we hear about karma all the time. Like, it's such a common, you know, word thrown around in society nowadays. Where did that come from? It came from the Bible. It came from the Bible, right? If I sow kindness with others, I will reap kindness from the Lord. Okay? If I am harsh with others, I will reap harshness on myself. Right? So it's kind of like a mirror. Like, God is putting a mirror in front of us and saying, "Hey, look what you're doing. It's going to come back." Right? So in the Gospel of St. Matthew, also in chapter 5, he says what? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Right? So why should I have mercy on somebody? Like, somebody did something to me. He posted something on Facebook about me. Get all emotional and whatever. Okay? What should I do? God is asking us to have mercy on people. God is asking us to love people. Right? And even the Lord says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Don't even tax collectors and sinners do that? Right? They love people who love them. But what is real love? Is the love that I have for people who are doing evil to me. Right? So this is all, again, the connection here is all about love. It's all about my attitude towards other people. And if I love others, chances are that I love God. If I don't love others, chances are I don't love God. Does that make sense? I can't say, and even it says this in the Bible, how can you say you love God and you hate your brother? Right? If you love God, shouldn't you love your brother? The brother that you see every day. How can you love God who you don't see? Right? And you say you love God, but you hate the guy that you see every day. Right? The Bible says. So it's a good, it's something that we really need to take care of. We really have to take care of it. Does that all make sense so far? Any questions or comments? Yeah. So when you say you have an image of someone, so are you saying that's okay, or are you saying that's not? Okay. So can you give me an example? Maybe we can, okay. So are you saying something that you, like, you're just seeing it now? Or are you saying, like, something that happened before, and then, like, you see the person again and again? In action. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I'm going to come and punch Mark in the face. Okay? So, you guys are all here. So, according to these verses, what should you do? Can you judge the fact that I punched Mark? Yes, you can. Okay, as we said, we have to discern evil and good. God gave us a brain. He gave us the Holy Spirit. That's the other thing we have to understand. What differentiates us from non-Christian people? It's not good acts. Okay? It's not doing good things, because they do that 10 times better than us. Okay? But what differentiates us is that we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us and guides us to discern what is evil and what is not evil. When to judge, when not to judge. When to speak, when not to speak. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is working inside of me. So now, I've punched Mark. Is it okay for me to judge the fact that punching Mark is wrong? Yes. Okay, so what is the part that's not okay? Yes? Right. Very good. Very good. So as soon as you start to hate me, you can hate me, by the way, if you want. But as soon as you start hating me because of what happened, that's when you're starting to judge, and that's what Christ is saying. You should not do that. Okay? So whenever I, because when I do that, what happens is, oh, Matthew is so bad. I'm so much better than him. I would never do that. That's certainly not in a church. Right? Do you see? So it starts us on a track, right? Into kind of like stepping away from love, stepping away from God. Does it make sense? Tell me. They did it to me. They did it to you, or to anybody. Mm-hmm. 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 You have a, yeah. Which, sorry, I've heard the name, but I don't know him. Yeah.
This one.
So judgment is different than taking action to address somebody. So those two are different. Okay? The difference is what? Who can tell me the difference between those two things? Judgment is dealing with what? The action. Okay, but what is judgment doing to me? Yes. So go back to like some of the points we said before. So where is the problem? The problem is when I elevate myself above someone else. Okay? So if I can address that person in love, not elevating myself, not thinking that I'm better than that person, right? If God is leading me to do that, I should do it. However, if I fall into judgment, I need to be careful. Maybe I shouldn't do it. Because the more important thing is that I don't judge the person. So if addressing the person, this is my personal view based on my readings, if addressing the person means I'm going to judge them, it's better maybe for me not to do that. Maybe it's better for me to address it in a different way. Maybe I tell somebody else to go and address it. Okay? Because I need to care about my salvation. Right? I need to care that God is not going to judge me, right? So if I am falling into judgment of others, maybe I'm not the person to address what that person did, right? But that's why, again, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, okay? Sometimes what we do, we jump into a situation and we just start saying, okay, you know what? That's wrong. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to da-da-da. I'm going to tell him. You did this, da-da-da. Right? I didn't stop, I didn't think, I didn't pray, I didn't ask anybody, I didn't ask anyone for advice, I just jumped right in, impulsive, right? That's what Christ is saying, you cannot be impulsive. You cannot, because if you're impulsive, you're going to make the wrong decision, right? I have to have peace in my heart, I have to have love for the person, and if I'm unable to do that, I should not address the person, in my opinion, based on what I've read here. But it doesn't mean the person shouldn't be addressed. Yes, they should be addressed. But maybe it's not me. Maybe it's somebody else. Does that make sense? And in the end, even if I don't address them, okay, maybe God is leading me to address them. I should. Okay? But if God is saying, maybe you shouldn't, I can rest easy because on the last day, God is going to judge everybody. Right? So I don't have to worry so much about what that person is doing. I have to worry about what I'm doing more. Does it make sense? We're going to talk more about it in the next three verses. But does that make sense? Does that answer? Yeah? Okay. Any other comments, questions on that? How are we doing for time? Okay, good. So let's go a little bit deeper. We're going to read verse 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look at a plank as your in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Okay, so this, he's making it even more clear, okay, with these verses. But I want to go back a second to what we talked about earlier about people in authority. Because sometimes people in authority abuse their authority. Okay? That's fine if it's someone else. It's not fine if it's me. Okay? So sometimes we're put in position of authority. Even it, like whether it's in a courtroom, okay, that's one thing. But it could be something else. For example, it could be at work, I am a team leader. I'm given authority on people. Or in the church, someone gives me, maybe Abuna gives me a responsibility to oversee certain people for this project. Or Sunday school teacher, that's the most common one. Okay? So Sunday school teacher, do they have authority? Do they have authority? Yes, they have authority on the classroom. So would they have authority to judge certain things? Yes, they would. However, right, what did we say? What's the caveat? What's the asterisk in love? Okay? So, and I just wanted to share this because I think it's a very nice example. So St. Paul, if anyone has read 1 Corinthians, it's okay if you haven't, I'm going to summarize it. So there was an issue in Corinth. St. Paul was the bishop, okay? So he went to the church in Corinth, and he found somebody in the church that was doing something very bad. So he asked him to stop doing that. He didn't. So what did St. Paul do? He asked him to leave the church, okay? He had authority to do that as a bishop, right? Even now, bishops have that authority to do that. So, some people, and, you know, we read that that chapter in Bible study one time, and there was a lot of people who read it, and they said, that's very harsh. How could he, you know, we call this excommunication in the church. How could he tell someone to stop coming to church? Isn't that a little harsh? Okay? But then, we read 2 Corinthians, okay? And this is St. Paul, he wrote both books. In 2 Corinthians, he talks about bringing that person back to the church. And he talks about, you know, when I did that, when I told him to leave the church, I did it in tears. I was in tears when I did that because I love him so much, right? I did that to save him. Because if he's going to continue in this way, he's not going to have salvation, right? I did it in tears, and he actually sent one of his disciples to go after him and say, you know, you need to go after this guy because he's not coming back. He's not stopping what he's doing. And he sent somebody, and eventually the man came back to the church and he repented. When he came back to the church, all the people in the church, they said, oh, this guy's not supposed to be in church, right? And they weren't respecting him and they were being very mean to him. And St. Paul said, no, you have to accept him back. You have to accept him. He's repented now. Okay? So I wanted to share that story because it's important for us to understand when we're in position of authority, and even if we become parents one day, okay, if God wills, we're going to have authority. You know, we can have authority on our children, but we have to do it in love. That authority must be used in love. Okay? So that gives us kind of a theme for these three verses. Okay? Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? You have a question? Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a perfect example for us to talk about. Okay. So what's the meaning of this? The plank, right? And the speck. So do we this is important to understand this point, right? So the speck, a speck is like a particle, like the littlest thing, like the, you know, piece of lint on my shirt. Okay? That's a speck. Okay? A plank is like in those days when he said a plank, he meant it like a log, right? Like a log in somebody's eye. How ridiculous would that look, right? But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. He's saying you have a log in your eye, like this, like sticking out of your head, right? And I go to you and I say, well, you know, you have a little shirt, right? And you probably would look at me and say, did you look in the mirror? Like, what's wrong with you? You have something, you have a huge thing coming out of your head, and you're so concerned about, you know, this little piece of dirt on my shirt, right? So what's the problem there? Verse 4, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Okay. So what is the Lord saying here? What's the problem here? I have something blocking my vision, and I'm telling you, you need to worry about something over there. What's the problem? You have your own problems? Okay. Exactly. I have something obstructing my vision, okay? And I'm so concerned about you and, you know, what your issues are. And I can't even see out of one eye. How can I even assess you? I can't properly assess you. I can barely see, right? So that's maybe, like, I don't know the context of your story, but hopefully that's what they meant in terms of... Let's read verse 5 and I think we'll answer. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay? So what is he saying here? Did he say, don't tell him about the speck? He didn't say that. He said, first remove the plank, then you can see. Then you can properly help. Then you can properly assess. But until then, you still have a plank in your eye, right? Yes. I'm not applying this to you, by the way. Okay, yeah. Yes. You're absolutely right. So, it's a fine line, okay? It means I have a passion to help somebody who's doing something wrong. Great. What's the first thing I need to do? Do I have this problem? Do I have this same problem? Do I need to fix this same problem in my life? Because chances are, and many, many people have said this, and even psychologists have said this, the things that bother you the most are the things that you have. Okay, and that's, I hate that, because when somebody tells me that, I hate hearing that, but it's very important for us to know that. Okay, chances are that I have something linked to that, the thing that I really hate in that person, chances are I have something of the same nature of that in myself. Okay? Now, so what do? I need to examine myself first. Does it mean that I can't help my friend? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means, what does he say? First, remove the plank from your own eye. First. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay? So that's the answer. The first thing I need to do. And why is the Lord saying this? Why did he say hypocrite? Why did he say that word? What does it mean? What does hypocrite mean? Yeah? Okay. Yes. So, if we take it in this context, okay, it's when I find someone else is guilty of something, and I am carrying something more guilty than that person. That makes me a hypocrite. Okay? It's very easy for us to judge other people. It's very easy to say, oh, that's wrong. Did everybody see that? That was wrong. Okay? But it's very hard for me to assess myself, the things that I'm doing privately that nobody sees. Okay? And I'm not too concerned about that because nobody can see it, but God can see it. Okay? But God is not saying, you know, you do things in secret. You need to watch out. He's saying, refrain from judging other people before assessing yourself first. Okay? And the problem that we can fall into when we're trying to help other people is, again, the sin of pride. I feel like I'm better. I have to help them because I'm better. I know how to help them. I'm an expert in this. I can help that person. Am I really an expert? Am I really the one that should help? Right? Am I carrying bigger things in my life? Okay? The answer could be no. It could be no. If it's no, then I'm okay to go and approach that person. If the answer is not no, then I need to stop and assess myself first. And I have to work on myself first. And I think the Lord is wise in saying this because when we do that, we have much more compassion on other people. Right? When I remember my own sins, I'm much more compassionate to my brothers and sisters. Right? When I see somebody get angry, right, and I say, oh, did everybody see that person got angry? That's so bad. But at home, I get angry all the time. Right? But I don't worry about that. I just care about, you know, that this person did that in public. Right? You following me? So, it's a fine line, like to go back to your example. I don't know the details, so I can't. But it's always safer, I would say. Again, we have to assess our love towards the person. If I have love towards the person, I would say there's no issues to approach. Right? If I don't have the love towards the person, I would say caution. Be careful, because you don't want to fall into this. You know what I mean? A lot of people say in the church, you hate the sin and you love the sinner. Okay? One priest told me, which I love the sinner and love the sinner. So instead of hate the sin and love the sinner, love the sinner and love the sinner. What does it mean? Focus on loving the person. That's it. God will deal with them in the right time. Maybe God is calling me to help that person. Maybe. Okay? But how do I know that? I need to be in tune with God. Right? It means that I need to be in the church. I need to be taking communion. I need to have a good prayer life. I need to have a good relationship with God. If those things are not present and I'm taking decisions, most probably I'm not making the right decisions. Right? So something as simple as before I speak to someone, pray. It's so simple and it's so academic. It's something you teach in kindergarten. But we lack doing this. We lack it. Right? Because why? It's we act on impulse. We act on emotion. Right? Oh, I feel this. I have to do something. No, you don't. Right? Sometimes I need to stop and pray and see, God, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to address this person or not? Do you want me to talk to somebody else about it? What do you want me to do? It's all at the end about God's will. What is God's will for me? Yes. 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 Absolutely. Just checking the time. Okay. Does it make sense? In the negative way of judging, you mean? Like in this way? So it's a fine line, but again, we have to go back to the spirit of love. I'll share, like, I have young children. I've only been a parent for 4 years. But the thing that I love about it is that you really can see how God loves us, right? Because children, they don't know anything, right? They're totally reliant on the parent, right, to guide them. But even when, with the guidance, they still disobey. They still want to do the wrong thing. They still want to put their hand on the stove. They still want to run outside in the cold with no jacket. They still want to do that, right? And we keep constantly saying, no, you can't do that, right? And that's what we talk about when we talk about authority, right? To judge, okay, yeah, it's wrong for you to go outside with no jacket in minus 30 degree weather, right? I'm judging that that is wrong, okay? But I bring them back in love and I say, you need to put your jacket on, right? And it's the same with God with us, because how many times do I fall in sin? How many times do I disobey God? And how many times do I not follow the commandments, right? Or how many times do I even not follow this verse here? How many times? So many times. So many times. But God is compassionate and he accepts my repentance every time. So I think, like, that's something for me that helps. Like, when I remember how God deals with me, it helps me to be more compassionate to the people that are under my authority, like my children, for example. I don't know if that helps, but. It's fine. It is fine. But my personal view, this is my personal view, it's very hard to separate the person from the sin. I have found that personally. Okay? It's very hard to separate. Like, our tendency is we associate the person with the sin. We want to have them together. When I see the person, he swears. He swears all the time. Every time I see him, yeah, he's a swearer. Oh, there's a liar over there. Oh, yeah, that girl, she does whatever. I see I associate them with the sin right away. Okay? So if I'm doing that, I have to stop. Right? Like, maybe hating the sin piece is not helping. Right? But what's going to help is when I love the person. So you know what? That person swears, but sometimes I say negative things about people under my breath all the time. I have to put it back on myself. Right? I always have to put it back on myself. And if I do that, right, St. Paul says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Right? So the more that I humble myself in front of others, I think people are better than me, That's when God is really going to work in my life. Does that make sense? It's not wrong, but we have to be careful. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. So the church fathers have commented on this passage, and they have said, judging and reproving or correcting are two different things. Okay? You may be in a position, God may be calling you to correct somebody. He may be calling you to do that, and that's okay. If God is calling you to do it, you need to do it. Okay? But the problem is, when I do the correction, am I making a judgment? You need to seek guidance from the Lord. I can't give you an answer. It's a fine line, right? But at the end of the day, the number one thing I need to worry about is my own salvation. So if correcting or helping someone is going to lead me to the path of Hades, it's not going to help me, then I shouldn't do it, right? So that's where I have to take a stand with myself and say, yeah, I want to help that person, but I am falling in sin doing it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. How people will see you helping that person. The first question in this situation is, I would say, does God really want me to help that person? I really have to understand that first. Maybe he does want me to do that. Maybe he doesn't. I can always help people by loving them. Always. That's not, you know, I don't have to question that. Right? So should you love that person? Absolutely. Care for them, you know, but pray for them. Pray is the number one thing we should do for people. But what exactly should you do? You need to seek guidance from God. Like if I'm taking actions and I don't have a strong prayer life, or I'm not seeking guidance from a spiritual guide, I should not be making that decision, right? So I find when you seek guidance, when you pray, you seek guidance, you ask people who you trust, who are spiritual people, what should I do in this situation? God will definitely lead you to the right way, definitely. The problem is when I take action on my own, I think I know what I should do. This is when we have problems. All the time, every time I make a decision, without consulting, I always regret it. Always. So we have to, right, take a step back, pray, seek guidance. What does God want me to do? And then I'm sure God will lead. I don't know what time you end, but it's I'm okay. But are you guys, you end now? Just worried about your time. I'm good, by the way. Any other questions? No, Uncle Samir told me it'll be a small group. I said, beautiful. I love that. I'm very happy with the small group. I don't need a big group. Any other questions, comments? Very good. Yeah. A good exercise that I like, which I shared with some others before, when somebody comes to me with a problem, I reflect with them that I have that problem too. And that keeps me, like, humble. You know what I mean? Like, somebody comes to me and says, I have a problem with anger. I can go and be, like, the expert and say, well, you know what? You gotta do this, you gotta pray, you gotta talk to Muna, you gotta da-da-da-da-da. And I become an expert. Or I say, you know what? I have that problem too. And I struggle with that too. And I need help too. You know, let's work on this together. Then I've taken away any temptation of pride because I'm exposing my own sin. That's at the end of the day, that's what God wants. He wants us to expose our own sins, not the others. Not sins of others, my own. Okay? Because when I repent, that's when I have salvation. That's when I can actually help people, is when I'm repenting. Right? Because when I'm clean and I have the relationship with God, then I can do some amazing things. Right? And we know people like that. Like, you know people on the earth who are very holy people, and people just flock to them, and they like hundreds of people go to them. Why? Just because they're holy people, right? And what makes them holy? They're repentant. They're humble. They repent. They have a relationship with God, right? If you really want to help people, repent and see what God will do. God will bring people to you. You don't necessarily will have to go after people. People will come to you. Make sense? Thank you so much for your time. Sorry it's late. Thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. Do you guys pray? Yeah? Okay. Does anybody want to pray? Just ask. Okay. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for gathering us together in your home. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which inspires us and leads us to salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you've given us by coming to be among us and for dying on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, not to judge. It's a temptation that's so easy for us to do, to fall into. But you have asked us not to do that. You have asked us because you care for us and you love us and you want us to be with you. And there can't be any sin when we are with you. Please, Lord, help us to overcome our sins. Help us, Lord, in this time of fasting to repent and to overcome our sins by your grace, by your Holy Spirit, which guides us. Please, Lord, bless each person here in this church. Please, Lord, bless the priests and the servants of this church. May it be always, for your glory, a place of worship and love. We pray all these things in your name, through intercessions and prayers of Saint Mary and all of the saints here, as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Thank you so much.